Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations stance point. With your host, Dan Rennie.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Before I begin, I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where our program is broadcast and pay my respects to elders past and present. Also, a shout out to all the TOs right around the country where this program is broadcast. It's wonderful to have your company. Well, Dan Rennie with you for the regular Friday edition of Let's Talk. And of course, it is NAIDOC week wrapping up. And a big happy NAIDOC to everybody. I hope you celebrated with your loved ones, your mob, and got together. We certainly had an amazing event down at Bunyapa Park here in West End on Monday. And a big shout out to all of the people that rocked up, all of the performers, all of our mob here as well. A big thank you for a great team effort and a wonderful day to celebrate our culture and history as we do on NAIDOC. Well, my guest today joining me in just a moment is an icon of Australian music, and fitting we have such an important voice in our First Nations community joining us today on the 30th anniversary of the release of his debut album, Charcoal Lane. Archie Roach is with us next. Look at the moon. Ooh. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Ooh. Happy birthday. Cockatoo fly with a cookie crow. By four walls, pouring till it seems all we have is our dreams.
All I have. keep me sane. Jumbo dreaming, my jumbo dreaming, jumbo dreaming, jumbo dreaming.
Today, it is fitting we have such an iconic and important voice in our First Nations community joining us today on the 30th anniversary of his debut album, Charcoal Lane, with the new release, The Songs of Charcoal Lane, out today. Welcome to Let's Talk, Uncle Archie Roach.
Hey, how are you? How are you, Dan?
I'm well, thank you. How are you going?
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, pretty good.
Does it feel like 30 years ago that this album was released?
It really doesn't. When I thought about it, I said, gee, it doesn't seem that long ago. But because, you know, it was such a big thing in my life at the time, just to do an album. And what happened after that sort of certainly changed my life pretty radically since then, yeah.
Yeah, look, this new release, it's a re-recording of those classic tunes. I believe recorded at your kitchen table.
Yep, right here where I'm talking from now, the kitchen table. And
how good.
Yeah, with two other musicians. I wish I could record like this all the time, but you know, it's so different than just going into the studio and just doing it at home where you feel more comfortable. Yeah, it was good.
Now, of course, your story is well known, and you write a lot about, you know, your history, your story, your personal journey, Stolen Generation survivor.
Yep.
Can you tell us about the early days, Uncle?
Well, I was taken away when I was two, you know, pretty young. But, you know, sort of like growing up in the homes, the institutions, and then various foster homes, it was a bit strange, but funny enough, taken away so young, after a while I just thought that was normal, you know, especially the place, the orphanage we went to first, and a dormitory full of kids, you know. I thought that was normal, and going to different foster homes, one foster home, and that didn't work out, and going to another one, and that was pretty bad because of what happened to me there, and ending up with another one, you know, and just it just seemed like, you know, it was a normal thing to do, to go from one place to the other, another home to another home. So it wasn't until later on that I got a bit older that I started to question things and question who I was and what was going on, yeah.
How did you take that journey? What were the steps that you took to reconnect or discover?
I'm pretty young, just before high school, and I was about 13, and just before we went to high school, and I took this mate home from school that I knew from school. The first time I took him home, you know, and to meet the folks, you know, mum and dad, she were my foster parents, but you know, they weren't Aboriginal. And I remember walking home with him that day, and he was getting the strangest looks, and I thought, what's wrong? Is there something wrong? And he said, oh, Archie, how come your parents are white? And I didn't know what he was talking about at the time. And I said, I don't know, why would you say that? He said, well, you're black. And, you know, then things started to, from then on, I just started to, you know, I went home and asked my foster father. I said, Dad, am I black? And he said, oh, well, who told you that? I said, my mate I just brought home. And, you know, he wanted to go down and talk to his dad. And I said, nah, it's all right. We'll just forget about it. And he explained to me, he was an old Scotsman, see, from Glasgow. And he said, oh, you're the first people from here, you're the Aboriginal. You belong to the Aboriginal people. I started to question that, and I still didn't even know what that meant, but I started to question who I was and what I was doing and why I was with them. So, well, how come I'm here with you? And they didn't quite know how to answer that, really.
That would have been very emotional, I'm sure. And I know a lot of our mob have similar shared experiences when it comes to reconnecting from being taken away. You know, me personally, I have a mother who was taken away, so it, you know, we know all too well that this is something that didn't happen generations ago. This is something that happened in my lifetime and still happens to this very day. Took the Children Away is probably one of the most important songs, I suppose, that you've ever written, shining a light on the stolen generation, and you know, much to the I suppose unknown to mainstream, who perhaps didn't know at the time that this was going on or did happen or still does happen. Can you tell us about the writing of Took the Children Away and the impact that it had?
Yeah, I wrote it. You know, when I stopped drinking alcohol, you know, I give it away. I started drinking at an early age. I was a teenager when I started drinking alcohol, you know, teenage drunks. But when I give that away, you know, I had to fill up that hole. But, you know, that not drinking, you know, when I stopped drinking, I had to fill up that with something else. And so I wasn't drinking, so music was a good way. I sing a lot of covers. Yeah, when I ran into my mob, the Aboriginal people, they listened to nothing but country back in the day. We listened to all sorts of music now, but back then it was just country music.
And what were those country covers you were playing?
Yeah, I started playing country music, and then I started writing songs, and basically country songs, falling in love and getting drunk and stuff like that. But then Michael Banjo heard that I was writing songs, and he came up to me and he asked me, he said, you write songs, don't you, boy? I said, oh, yeah, I try. He said, why don't you write a song about when you was taken away? I said, I was only two, old fellow. I don't remember much about it. And he looked at me seriously in the eye and said, yeah, but I do. And he sat down and he told me the yarn about when I was taken away. And that's when I wrote the song. Took me about a night and a morning to write the song. I went around to his place and sung it to him on the old mission, where people still live today. And he said, that's him, my boy, that's him. So that's how I come to write it. When we did the album, you know, Charcoal Lane, and started promoting it and singing it around, like you said, people came up to me and said, We never knew anything about this. We weren't told anything. You know, Australian history never told us anything about that. It was just about Captain Cook and Burke and Mills and all that sort of stuff. And Aborigines just in the bush or the desert and make bushy grubs. And so I said, well, no, it's a little different. You know that. So. It became, you know, people started to talk about it. Oh, not necessarily because of my song, but people used to come up and talk to me about it. And we'd sit down and have a yarn, a little bit of a yarn if we could, after the show about. So it opened up a bit of conversation back in the day about the stolen generation.
If you're just joining us, we're yarning with Uncle Archie Roach here on 98.9 FM's Let's Talk Murray Country. The 30th anniversary edition of Charcoal Lane is out today, and we're going to be previewing tracks from it. Here is that amazing tune, Took the Children Away.
The story's right, the story's true. I would not tell lies to you, that the promises they did not keep, and how they fenced us in like sheep. The said to us, come take her hand and set us up on mission. And they told us to read, to write and pray. Then they took the children away, took the children away, the children away, snatched from their mother's breast, said this is for the best, took us away. The welfare and the policeman, well, they said you've got to understand, we're gonna give to them what you can't give. Teach them how to really live. Teach them how to live, they said. Humiliated them instead. They taught them that and taught them this. And others taught them prejudice. You took the children away. The children away. Breaking our mother's heart, tearing us all apart, took them away. One dark day on Framingham, they came and did not give a damn. And my mother cried, go get their dad. He came running, fighting man. Mother's tears were pouring down. And my dad shaved up. He stood his ground and he said, you touch my kids, why you got to fight me? Then they took us from our family. He took us away. They took us away. Snatched from our mother's breast. Said this is for the best. Took us away.
Came back to their mother.
children came back. Children came back. Oh, the children came back. Yes, I came back.
It's Let's Talk with your host, Dan Rennie.
Welcome back. This is Murray Country, 98.9 FM. Let's Talk. I'm Dan Rennie, and joining me on the phone is the one and only Archie Roach, and we heard Took the Children Away, the 30th anniversary edition. Some reworkings of the songs. Is that sort of with time? Do you look back at your songs and go, oh, I would have done this a little bit different, or how did the reimagining of the songs work?
Yeah, it was like, you know, when we first recorded them back 30 years ago, they were just new and fresh, and, you know, and it was like, you know, I had an idea of the songs, you know, but, you know, like I went along with Paul Kelly and Steve Connolly, who produced it, you know, so, you know, and that had a lot to do with about, you know, how I was singing and how I'd sing the songs, and along with the production as well. But so like 30 years on, like I've grown since then myself, matured spiritually and mentally, and I think the songs have as well. It's like catching up with old friends and just just continuing the conversation we had years ago. Mm. But it's I'm a bit older and a bit wiser. And so the songs, I think, now sort of reflect that as they've matured, and I have a better idea of how they should have been sung, or how to sing them now, yeah.
Now, when you go to a show with Mob, they often, if they find a song that, you know, we love, we'll ask for it over and over again. What's the one song of yours that you always get requests for?
Oh, gosh, Talk Alone, a lot of people like, and there's a lot of old ex-junks that used to be drink but don't anymore, like myself. That's why I'm, and a song that's not mine, but I got to do it on the album, written by my late partner, Ruby Hunter. And she, that's Down to the Streets. A lot of people like that. But that's okay. I had the privilege of performing that on Charter. I did 10 songs for Charcoal Lane, the album. And Paul asked me how many songs I had. I said, I got 9. He said, oh, we probably need about 10. And I said, well, I haven't got 10. That's when Ruby asked me. She told me, she said, what about my song? I said, hey, that's an idea. Sing it to Paul and Steve Connolly, Paul Kelly, Steve Connolly. So she did. And they go, that's a 10-song after we've got an album. So, yeah, so a lot of people like to request that one. This is a song from Charcoal Man, of course, but now there's a lot of other songs people request.
Well, from other albums. Sorry, go on.
No, from other albums as well. A lot of people like the one from... that real song I've got on that called Old Mission Road. People like that. The Old Mission Road. So, but yeah, from Charcoal Lane, I suppose, it's Down City Streets, Charcoal Lane itself. Took the Children Away, of course. We've got a big laugh. We took the Children Away still there.
Well, we're going to have a listen to Down City Streets right now. We'll come back and have a little talk about the song itself. So iconic when you paint such an amazing picture with this the words in this song. Down City Streets from the Songs of Charcoal Lane.
Start me. up. Help me to think. Down to these streets I would roam. I had no bed, I had no home. In those days when I was young, drinking and fighting, it was no fun. But it was daily living for me. I had no choice, it was meant to be. Down city streets I would roam. No home, and there was nothing that I owe. Use my fingers as a comb. Man, I'm not alone. I am married, I got children of my own. Now I have something I call my own. Children, yeah, man, this is my home. And I look around and understand how street kids feel when they put down.
City Streets, written by Ruby Hunter, performed by Uncle Archie Roach. He's with us on the phone as we celebrate the 30th anniversary of the release of Charcoal Lane. Such a vivid story in that song, and you can you know, when you're talking about those places, you take us there with you.
Yeah, I went to Sydney first to try and find your sister. She wrote me a letter when our mum passed away, our real mother passed away. But she'd already moved by the time I got to Sydney, so I ended up becoming pretty much homeless and started drinking, you know, but this old fella took me under his wing and showed me the ropes, made sure I was right, where to get a feed, where to get a bed, or, you know, or sleeping out sometimes, you know. So I say, yeah, and drinking. And when I met Ruby Hunter over in Adelaide, we were both homeless and drinking. And so later on, you know, when we straightened our lives out and we started writing music, she wrote that song, Down City Streets. And it was just, I said, that's it. That's what it was like. You had no bed, no, had no home. And, you know, it's about that when I had hair on my head, I used to use my fingers as a comb. And I remember sometimes when we slept out or under a bush or something at night, we'd get up and Mum would say, turn around. I'd turn around and she'd brush all the leaves and the twigs off my back of my clothes or coat. And then she did the same. So I'd turn around and then clean me up. So I'd do the same thing. So, yeah, it was a time to remember well. And it's a great song she wrote about being homeless, that's for sure.
Yeah, look, it's become a song that's regularly requested and played here on Murray Country, and I'm sure right around this country. What was the initial impact or sentiment when you released Charcoal Lane? Was it instantly out there in the public, or was it a slow burn?
Yeah, I was surprised. Like I said, I would have been happy just if nothing had happened after we did the album, because, you know, not many people, especially, you know, Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people, get a chance to make an album of their songs. And I had that chance and I went and did it. And like I said, if nothing had happened after that, I would have still been happy. But dang, the things just, it changed my life radically. Things just started to take off and people wanted to talk to us. And so it took off, all right. And for a while there, I was here, there, and everywhere, you know, all over the place. Sydney, you know, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Adelaide, you know, far away as Perth, and, you know, all the places. And people just wanted to know who I was and wanted to know what the music was about. Yeah, so it took off, all right, yeah.
Well, you've collaborated, worked with some many amazing artists. You mentioned Paul Kelly there, but... You know, fellas like Shane Howard. What's it like working with such amazing, you know, musical icons in this country?
Oh, you know, it was great, you know, working with Paul. And you know, I acknowledge Paul as the bloke that got me into it in the first place. Shane Howard, I love Shane. He doesn't live far from me. I love his music, you know, the way, you know, since he did Solid Rock, you know. One of my favourite songs of his is called Heart of My Country. And he has a real sort of grasp of understanding of how we feel about country and what country means to us. So I love listening to his music. It's been great to be able to work with people like that. But, yeah, you know, through the years, you know, not that long ago, working with the Black Arm Band, with Bart Willoughby, of No Fist to Dress, younger people like Emma Donovan, and some of the other great artists as well. Jimmy Barnes, okay, Fogel Bickman. Yeah.
All right, we're going to have a listen to a track that you perform with Paul Kelly. This is We Won't Cry.
If your burden's too heavy, that it's gonna break you, and you might go crashing to the ground. Keep yourself steady and don't let it take you. you on down, take you on down.
Well, I'm here beside you, and don't you forget it. I'm with you walking down this road. Give up what's inside you, you won't regret it. Together we can lighten this load.
Same for me when I was in trouble. I wanted to disappear out of sight. You wouldn't let me. You were so stubborn. You brought me out of that dark night.
Kelly and my guest this morning, Archie Roach, there with We Won't Cry, beautiful song, Uncle, and we really appreciate you spending some time with us here on the release date of the Songs of Charcoal Lane 30th anniversary edition. Of course, we're right in the middle or near the end of NAIDOC week, of course, and always was, always will be, is the theme. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you?
It means everything, you know. Through the years, you know, no matter what we've been through, you know, we're still here and strong. But, you know, nothing's changed as far as we, as our connection to country. That's always been the same in the people, you know, because if you're connected to a particular part of the country, that means people as well. So it always was and always will be, you know, the connection that we have with our country and our people. That will never change through the years. So it's very, very important that people understand that, you know, and realise that, okay, you know, you believe this and you believe that about us and this country, but always remember our connection to country and to people has never changed. It always was and it always will be for time immemorial. Yeah.
Of course, another date that's just around the corner. Such a sad day for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. It's January 26th.
Yes, yes.
What does that day mean for you, Archie?
Look, I don't know. Sometimes I don't even like thinking about it because, you know, why would people continue to celebrate a day that's disrespectful and represents, you know, mourning for Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander people. You think that they want to change that day because so we can join in the celebrations. It's not that we don't want to celebrate, you know, and being, you know, First Nation Australians as well, as being First Peoples. But, you know, it's just that we need to do another day because, you know, we've gone through too much and we suffered too much because of that day. You know, 26th of January. And it's not a hard thing to understand to just change. It's not going to kill anybody. And it shouldn't make any difference to anybody. So, but you know, that's just me rambling on about it, how I feel about it. But yeah, it makes me think and think, you know, why? It's a sad time to celebrate being Australian as well as, you know, our first people, First Nation Australians, you know. That's how I feel about that, that's for sure.
I want to finish up today with the title track from the album and such an important song. And I love the 30th anniversary edition of Charcoal Lane. Can you tell us about this one?
Wow. Yeah, we'll be doing a YouTube series on the song from Charcoal Lane as well. And that's been good. It was a place where we used to love to go, one of our favourite watering holes where we used to gather. But, you know, it wasn't what people don't understand about a group of fellows drinking in the park or in the laneways is that they just see that drinking. They didn't hear the dialogue. They didn't hear what we were talking about. And I met a lot of people, met a lot of family, and heard a lot of stories about family that were no longer with us. So, yeah, it was an important place. There were places where we just didn't just drink, where we could be together and tell stories, you know, and let each other know about ourselves and our families, because everybody knew everybody. And I knew the families, and they could sit down and tell me about my, you know, my uncles, my aunties, my mum and dad even, you know. And so Charcoal Lane was one of our favourite places to be able to do that, yeah.
That's one of our favourite songs as well, Uncle. Here it is. This is Charcoal Lane, Archie Roach.
Side by side, walk along to the end of Gertrude Street, and we tarpaulin muster for a quart of wine. Thick or thin, right or wrong, in the cold and in the heat, we'd cross over Smith Street to the end of the line. And then we'd love and sing, do anything to take away the pain. Trying to keep it down as it first went round in Charcoal Lane. Well, spinning yarns and telling jokes, now the wine is tasting good, 'cause it's getting closer and closer to its end. So have a sip and roll some smokes, we'd smoke tailor-mades if we could, but we just may do with some city street blend. And then we'd all tuck in and we'd start to grin when we had enough to do it again. But if things got tight, we had to bite for Charcoal Lane. So up Gertrude Street, we'd walk once more, with just a few cents short. And we stop at the builders to see who we could see. And we'd bide around until we'd score a flag in old MacWilliamsport. Just enough to take away our misery. And then we'd all get drunk, oh so drunk, and maybe a little insane. And we'd stagger home all alone, and the next day we'd do it again. Have a revival in Charcoal Lane. Oh, I'm a survivor of Charcoal Lane.
Charcoal Lane, title track to the debut album from Archie Roach, and it's celebrating its 30th anniversary today, the 30th anniversary edition. The Songs of Charcoal Lane is out now. Go and grab it. Uncle Archie, thank you very much for your time today, reminiscing, going back over these old tracks, and we wish
you... It's always good, you know, as you get older, it's always good to reminisce and look back and realise where you've come from, but never forget actually, you know, where it is you've come from, and that's important too.
And what's next? Writing more songs or slowing down?
I have to write some more songs, but we've got projects happening with younger people, young singer songwriters that are responding to the song "Took the Children Away" and writing a song and their own songs around that. A young reader's edition of my memoir, Tell Me Why. So a few things still happening, but hopefully we'll get back on the road and do some live shows. And of course, I'd love to be able to write some more songs.
Well, we're going to go out today with a song that you wrote with one of those younger emerging artists. He's from the Torres Strait, Mau Power. This song, Freedom, puts the hairs up on the back of the neck, Uncle, and we certainly appreciate you joining us for an extended yarn and can't wait to see you up here in Brisbane soon.
It'd be good to get up there again, yeah, for sure.
Must believe. Hey future, keep a solid vision on me. Native lingo, history is skin deep. My only sin was the color of my skin, so I'm a sin till pride. Emancipate mental slavery, and they said we were failing time. Showed them up, we stood the test of time. Time, I blame it on time, but regain it on time, so I claim it on time. Put soul in this image. This is music for the free spirit. Inspiration for those who really need it. Not those who listen, but those who really feel it.
Songs of our time, teachers of our story.
Let it be written in the maze. The survival of a culture is a reason that we made it. Yeah.
Spirit ties, keepers of our story.
And the show will go on. Worship, burn, unks, we came to tell the world. Come on.
We have survived.
language of a mother to a son. Rituals since time begun. The circle of life is never broken. My ancestors of time have spoken. Free the slave of your mind, get open. A manuscript for a future, here's to hoping. Let it breathe just a little bit. Hey world, believe just a little bit. And if you can see in an etiquette of respect, birth to peace becomes relevant. But that concept alone is irrelevant. True ambition, such tests are heaven sent. That's why we grab mics and go ridiculous and scream represent till the whole world be feeling it. Yeah.
Songs of our time, teachers of our story.
Let it be written in the maze. The survival of a culture is a